Hello, everyone, and welcome to JFG Tonight for Ask Me Anything. The Iranian president is being looked for because his helicopter crashed. It is said that it's because of the weather, but you never know in the technological world of today. Could it be an Israeli operation, a little missile that no one hears of? I think we should keep an open mind as to the explanations for the crash of the Iranian president. But it has not been confirmed. Is he dead? Is he alive? They're looking for him. And they say they have located the site of the crash. We'll know. I don't know what it will cause. Iran, will it be destabilized by this? I don't know. Will there be other entities outside of Iran trying to use this opportunity to use a moment of weakness on Iran? That is possible. How are you doing, people of the regular chat? We already have questions that have come in. Thank you so much for those who are generously supporting the show. Tarmo has sent $35 during the night. He says, JF, I have a few evolutionary questions for you. In a debate about the police brutality, you said you support harsh punishments for even petty crimes because it has a eugenic effect on society. However, in a status system, wouldn't this lead to farming people to be more obedient sheeple, like the ones who took the vax? Well, the way I see the ideal eugenic pressure is you want a eugenic pressure of criminal prosecution that is very harsh and very swift for all crimes. Because if you start saying, oh, well, I'm not going to punish the small crimes because these small criminals could be eventually creative geniuses. First, there's no evidence that it's the case. To me, anyways, someone who is a productive member of society will have other things to do than spend his days stealing fish from the supermarket. So to me, these people who say these things, they didn't do the studies. Like, okay, suppose that 1 out of 1,000 petty criminal becomes some sort of useful member of society. Have you considered the fact that much more than 1 out of 1,000 will become murderer? Like, you haven't done the full accounting of it. So as far as small crime goes, I think we're being way too lenient on it. And no, I don't think we will farm sheeple. The ideal place that you want your eugenic pressure to be is to the place where it catches all crime, basically. But it lets the ideological contrarian exist. The ideological contrarian, like me, we are revolted against society, but I would never steal a dollar. I would never steal 10 cents. I would never steal anything. So that's the kind of mind you want to let be in your society. That's okay, because I can be a contrarian at my own cost in the capitalist society. But if my contrarianism lives off as a parasitic genetic entity to me taking a little bit from you here and there as a petty criminal, then it's not worth it for society, because the cost of accepting petty crime is way bigger than any genius we might have from the populations that are petty criminals. That's my view. I don't... Sorry, I wanted to cough, but I saw that my cough button was not activated. I don't have necessarily all of the data. I don't think we have data. We don't have data on if someone commits a crime at 13 years old and they do a little theft or something. The little data we have is that they will be very more likely to be career criminals. We don't have data on, well, do they bring a positive contribution on average to society? My guess would be a big, big no. I think that you will see that any sort of correlates that you can catch someone around criminal or violent behavior of any kind, the earliest, it will allow you to predict future graver criminal engagement. And anyways, we don't even resolve all crimes. So when the leftists tell you, oh, it's possible to rehabilitate prisoners, they don't take into account that, hey, there's a lot of murders out there. We don't know who committed it. So it could be the guy that you claim has been rehabilitated. You just didn't catch him. So it's an entire bullshit system, this whole system of leftist social workers who claim that they can fix people. No evidence for this at all. I've never seen serious studies being done on this. What I've seen is studies that are pre-designed to conclude that rehabilitation is possible. Tarmo has also asked a second question. He said, question about TRP. Since the benefits of genetic engineering are vast and the temptation is there for a lot of people, it seems to me that it's impossible to stop TRP without an end to large-scale technological civilization. Which is possible. Read Ted's newest book, Anti-Tech Revolution, Why and How. Yeah, you can definitely I know about Ted Kaczynski, and you can go watch my video, The Life of Ted K, or The Life of Ted Kaczynski. I laid out my thoughts on him. I think he was visionary and very in advance of his time, a true creative genius. And I agree with him and with you that it is possible to stop the race forward of technology. And it's easier than most people think. All it takes is that technology is somewhat evolutionarily punishing for those engaging with it. And let me tell you, it's probably the case for a lot of technologies already. I mean, just see how social media can ruin people's lives. Just see how people who are overconnected, they don't do like me and derive a living from it. Some of them are thrown down the path of non-reproductive paths, like selling your body on OnlyFans. So definitely there is a clash between technology and evolution, and we can... In the spirit of Ted K, we can totally exploit this clash, and we can turn it to our advantage. Truvy says, did the moral signal come out already? No, not at all. And I would have to go back to the writing. I've been totally dormant on the moral signal, and I apologize for this, but it's what it is. Creative writing requires a feeling of wanting to do it, and there may be a point in my life where I want to do it again, and I'm certainly not abandoning the book, but it has to be brought to a certain standard, and we're just not there yet. One of the coolest videos from the Meteor yesterday in Portugal. Look at this. Someone was just happening to film herself smiling, and a big meteorite comes in. And that was not a light effect or a CGI being added on top of it. There are many, many videos like this that I've caught this giant meteorite coming in, lighting up the sky over Portugal. Shring Mamel sends a super chat. He says, Jeff, you're correct. The girl that I'm visiting in the Philippines is high energy. I was only allowed 2 hours of sleep. She was upset that I fell asleep at midnight and was making threats against what should I do. Was making threats again. What should I do? Okay, so you have a potential Philippine girlfriend who's basically a borderline personality disorder. Well, listen, I mean, it boils down to insemination once again. I'm sorry if it sounds like I repeat myself, but I mean, the question is within your context and within your perception of the market, do you have better options out there that are more reasonable? Or do you think that if you go for another girl, she's going to maybe be borderline personality disorder too? In any case, the question is always, what is the closest path from my dick to a reproductive vagina? And in your case, the answer might be around the world in a Filipinos brothel or whatever. It boils down to this. Do you believe that you can inseminate her? Because yes, she's going to be crazy. Oh yeah, so the threats are threats of suicide. The threats are threats of suicide and oh my God, I miss you. And oh, you weren't there for me. You didn't call me. Look, this is a unhealthy woman, okay? And to anyone who has, and thank you so much, White, for your gigantic donation. Thank you so much. I'll go back to that super chat. I want to finish my answer to Shring Mamel. So, I mean, you know, Shring Mamel, that it's going to be tough. You know, it's going to be tough for you to reproduce. Now, do you want to play the borderline game? Do you want to get into that territory? I got into that territory. I'm totally broken from it mentally. My heart is basically, there's a dark patch on my heart. I will die about 20 years earlier in my life because I've said yes to borderline pussy. It's the question. I mean, he says it was also a threat of cutting herself again. I'm tired of the bar hoe game. Exactly. So you want to get into that game? It's the toughest game in town. So do you think you're capable of isolating your emotional well-being from this Filipinos hoe? Because there's a way you could inseminate her and try to keep her at a distance, see if you can maybe avoid having to deal with the problem of her existence. The thing is, it's not going to be better in the US, we know, because we've been through the bar hoe game, you and I. You've been doing all the work and you end up with these borderline bar hoes in the US. So the fact that she's Filipinos is almost irrelevant. The fact is, you will end up having to reproduce with a borderline fucked up woman. He says, the last girl I dated, a borderline girl, she went to the asylum. Well, there you go. You win some, you lose some. You win some, you lose some. When you're in the borderline game, they're going to take about half of them away from you, okay? That is just part of the game. So you have to have twice the amount of borderline girlfriends to have the equal amount of babies. No, look, I don't see a change of the plan here. Your Filipinos girlfriend is insane in the head, is a danger to herself, her surrounding, her and your babies with her. I will tell you that there is a bright possibility out there for you. There is a Baptist woman in the Bible Belt that one day will fall in love with you, but maybe it's not now. Maybe for now you need to engage in the games that I've played in my 20s and my 30s. I want to tell you that human happiness is possible and that a healthy couple is possible. But that doesn't mean to sacrifice your Filipino borderline woman for this. Because I don't know if it's accessible to you. What I can tell you is that if you go through the suffering with this borderline woman, she's going to give you a lot of trouble. She's going to try to hook each of your emotions. She's going to mess up your energy, your life. She's going to drain everything from you. But the babies that you make with her, if you can ensure that she's pregnant, the babies that you make with her may one day meet a girlfriend of quality like I did at 40 years old. So maybe happiness was not the plan for you, but happiness is still in the cards somewhere down the line, down the generations. You know, I can imagine millions of years of women getting raped and then getting raped by pirates and gangsters and then deciding together, hey, we've been making terrible decision making. How about we reform a society that's civilized with marriage and everything? And then perhaps there would be happiness for men and women in that world. Until then, I would say keep the fact that you learn that your Filipino's girlfriend is borderline and suicidal is a detail. It's a detail of history. I would leave it on the side. I would prepare yourself, brace yourself for mental resistance. And most importantly, enjoy life and find a way to enjoy life independently so that you can be a strong man and that you can have strategies to cover yourself from this problematic woman, that you can protect your heart and your brain and your thoughts from her violence. Rodila Sid says, if she is bipolar or borderline personality, what chances are that her offspring will also have mental issues? Don't risk it and go to Vietnam or Thailand, my friend. Well, that's Rodila Sid's position. The chances are increased. Like, if you look at the cluster B, do they call them the cluster B disorders, like schizophrenia, bipolar, psychosis of all kind? Maybe you have a 2 to 5% chance of having a baby that's schizo. And maybe if you do it with a schizo woman, maybe you have double the chances, triple the chances, but you still have mostly chances of not leading to a bipolar or schizo baby. So don't forget that the genes always get shaked. And that you're not at all guaranteed to have the same shake that led your crazy girlfriend to be that crazy. So it's the fatality of the male. You have to travel the world, inseminate this woman, and potentially hurt yourself in the process. But at the same time, I know, Shrigma Male, that you're serious about, you know, realizing this accomplishment of reproduction. And I know you're willing to go to extreme cost to do so. Well, there you go. You got an offer on the table there. Careful with all the strategies she might use to extract the sperm from herself or change it for the sperm of another man. Just make sure that your sperm is in her vagina. And then maybe the world will give you a chance. Maybe she's not that bad. Maybe she's not as bad as the red flags would point out. By the way, this is something that's possible. You can have girls that are on paper very, very, very bad. And in reality, they're a little less bad than this. So keep your heart open and keep it close to any of our vicious attacks against you in the next few years. White has sent $240. Thank you so much for the generous support. He says, hey, I remember this show. It's about phenotypes and a French guy or something. Joe Frank Gary, glad to have you back, Mr. JF Gary. Did you see Max Azzarello's manifesto? No, I don't even know who that is. What is the Max Azzarello manifesto? Oh, the guy that set himself on fire in front of the Trump trial. Yes, I saw this and I commented on this on the day it happened or the day after. So go check the shows of the... My conclusion was this is a lot of schizo stuff and it wasn't particularly obsessed around Trump. He had various schizo theories that were extensive that he had laid out in his blog. I'm looking at the so-called manifesto, basically, which was published on his Substack. My conclusion is just a giga schizo who set himself on fire. I don't have much to say other than this. I had said this on that night where I did the analysis. All right. There was Rodi that said I had a question, but it disappeared from my chat. So if you still have your question, you can retype it. I believe you had a question pre-show. Tringmamel says, I have it all saved. However, I doubt anything in the U.S. court system could save me. Rodi that said was telling him to document all of this. Yes, it's good to document the suicidal behavior of your girlfriend. Because if you do have a baby with her, if she's that unstable, there is a chance. Hear me out. Hear me out. I'm not going to specify exactly. I had a friend, okay? It happened to him. I had a friend, a very good friend. He went out with a crazy woman, had babies with her. And the woman just disappeared. She left. She left him alone, and she left him alone and happy. So, you know, document all of this, because one day you might have babies with this girl, and you don't want to create a situation. Women who are crazy, by the way, they know how crazy they are, and they typically don't like the U.S. court system. You know, the true schizo borderline woman will not divorce you and ruin your life and make false allegations against you in court. Those are the normie women that do this. The schizo borderline woman knows that she can't even hold a truth for more than 5 minutes before contradicting herself. She knows she wouldn't survive the court process. And so keep documentation of the suicidal behavior just so that when she leaves you and tries to, or and maybe tries to think about ruining your life, she won't even have that possibility, because you'll have so much on her that that she knows she's not going to get custody of the children. And she knows if she wants you out of her life, she has to leave herself. Therefore, the cost of the divorce will be on her and not on you. Silver Spider says, this is so true. Haha. The schizo woman will just drain you for the rest of your life until you die early. Yes. Rodita Sid says, yeah, in that kind of situation, the best thing is just to walk away and remove yourself from the situation. Well, okay, but you can't walk away if you have babies. So Shrek Mamel, you continue on the program to make these babies and see what happens. See what happens and protect yourself mentally. Be the Terminator. You are handling a bubble of trouble here, a trouble bubble. This needs to be handled with gloves. It needs to be handled with maybe a truck, a machine, some sort of interface. A wall. You need to be able to, you know, ninja style, protect you from attacks from behind. And I think you'll be fine. I think you're an intelligent guy. You will see all of her dirty attempts at manipulating you emotionally, and you will look at her psychopathically and say, "If you ever threaten me again of suicide, I will do something that will end our relationship. You never do this again. Do you hear me?" And don't be more threatening than this, because they're going to get you on the record, and now you're in trouble because you're abusive somehow, because you're telling her to stop something, and that's abuse of a female. Be careful. Be careful at everything you do. It always needs to be within the boundaries of the legal world. Don't be P. Diddy. Iranian president's helicopter located, military deployed to Tehran streets, according to state media. We still don't know, is that a death of the Iranian president? Nick Fuentes' stream was hacked, but you know, I always don't like calling it a hack when it doesn't need any talent. Basically, Nick Fuentes had someone in his staff that knew his stream key, or that had access to his stream key through just being able to touch his computer. That person betrayed Nick Fuentes, took the stream key, maybe sold it or maybe used it himself to stream gay porn on Nick Fuentes' streaming platform. And there are people who say, oh, Nick, right after the show, he accidentally streamed gay porn. No. This is a low-level act that requires no talent. That is a betrayal of trust act. I don't even like calling them act because it gives credibility to the actions of basically someone who's just dishonest. But yeah, stream keys are often, you know, they're often not treated as a private entity because if you're a professional who streams, you often need staff and you have interns and collaborators and they might know your stream key. But it is basically a password for channeling video into your platform, so you have to be careful with it. Black Tie sends $10. Thank you so much. He says, Jeff, I assume you've played Portal 2, but have you ever played Portal Reloaded? It's like Portal 2, except you can place a third portal, which connects you between two points in time, past and present. Objects moved in the past are moved in the future, but not the other way around. It's really fun. Well, that sounds interesting. To be experimenting with time travel in a game, I might be tempted to try it. The way you present it, you're doing a good sell. You're doing a good sell. I'm tempted at buying Portal to see that in action. I'd love to experience the first experience. First-person experience of time travel. I would love it if they could do something like Tenet also, reversed entropy and that kind of stuff. That being said, no, I have never played with Portal. I know the principle. I know it's a guy who's walking around and he's drawing a circle and you can enter and it teleports you somewhere else, if I understand correctly. He says, but if you haven't played Portal 2, play that first. That's the problem. I'm so autistic. I don't know if I want to get away from Dota. You know, portals. Okay, I don't want to play a game of teleportation. That's why it sucks. I would love to play a time traveling game that makes me experience something new that I've thought about a lot because I love time traveling movies. But what you're telling me is that I have to get into Portal 2 first and learn all of the... And what is the goal of this game? To get from one place to another? Is it like Mario? You have to get to the end of a maze or something? Roddy the Sid says, oh yeah, Portal 2 is possibly the best game ever made. I am 100% sure JF will like it. You have to figure out intelligent puzzles. Really? They made intelligence into a game? I might have to try it. I don't know. In my experience, they always fail at intelligence. You know, games are kind of stupid. When they're intelligent, they're intelligent accidentally. Okay, a lot of people on the chat are saying it's good, they're excellent. Well, then I might have to try because I tried a lot of games. I'm a gamer. I might have to try it if so many of you recommend it. Yeah, I might try it. Terrence Howard to Joe Rogan. We're about to kill gravity. They don't want that.
Time for a new laptop?
No, I don't know what to do.
You know what's going on.
Government.
They do
man.
Not want you. We're about to kill gravity. We're about to kill their god, gravity, and they don't want that.
Towards the here center. We go.
By the way, this is the black guy who believes he has invented a new form of mathematics. And what was it? It's a form of mathematics where multiplying by zero doesn't give zero. Oh my God.
Here we go. From the beginning.
I have two groups of vortexes, which are just like tornadoes. Tornadoes, you know, spinning tornadoes that are pointing towards the center. As I highlight this object here, you'll see it, that yellow line. Right? So there's.
Okay, so you've made 3D visual objects in a virtual space.
A bunch of those in there. There's actually 16 of them, and I'll highlight them all. There. Render that just so you can kind of see a little bit better. So that's
why are these kidzos always obsessed with hexagonal and octagonal shapes and circles?
So they're all pointed towards the center, but they're arranged in.
Okay, you've arranged your 3D background to be the stars, to be the background of the universe. That gives it a little serious taste.
What we call the linchpin configuration. I'm going to pretend like you never heard of that before. So there's one on the top and then three in groups of three around that are spaced at 120 degrees apart. And the tilt of these ones on the bottom here is 109.5 degrees in relationship to the top ones that are creating this flat space.
Okay, but so they are trying to create an anti-gravity machine, and they do so by recruiting a flat space. Now, in principle, that's interesting, but you're going to need so much mass in that thing, nothing human could produce this. If you want to flatten the space by the rotation of a mass, you would need a mass that is like a galaxy. Maybe if you could engineer a galaxy, maybe you could do something like this. I don't see it happening otherwise. In fact, I think you might need more than the weight of a whole galaxy. You might need like a fraction of the universe or something.
It's on the top and the bottom. And they're spaced at 120 degrees radially. And then inside the model is three groups.
Jamie, there's two sounds playing simultaneously.
No, it's got sound in the background.
Oh, while he's doing it?
That's my wife talking. We're in the kitchen, and he's just explaining.
This guy is with his wife in the kitchen. He's a black man, and he has his... is mathematician snake oil salesman coming to explain their physics progress, their anti-gravity machines to him.
And it's over Sky. This is over Sky.
I was confused. Go ahead.
Up to 1,000 pounds, from 2.2 pounds to 1,000 pounds. And there's no gravity whatsoever in this model. There's no center attractor. So it's just vortex.
Oh my God. So it's just vortex. There are no center attractors. We're about to kill gravity. They don't want that. I've got a model with 16 vortexes in a bench pin configuration. No center attractor. No gravity whatsoever. Well, yes, there's no gravity in your 3D world. Add planet Earth and add the physics of gravity, and you're probably going to have gravity. We have here a black graduation ceremony. Let's see how it goes.
Please stay seated.
Well, just hours ago, we learned that a school security officer was injured as he tried to stop that fight. WREG's Jessica Knox spoke with his wife and an angry parent.
Parents are outraged after what happened at Hamilton High School graduation last night.
They said, Lord.
Okay, let me introduce you to Blackception here. There are black people fighting at their black graduation ceremony. A black journalist is covering the thing in black speech while she interviews black citizens that are alarmed at the degree of violence at this black graduation ceremony.
What happened to, absolutely.
They didn't show that last night.
Okay, then. They didn't.
Quita White says what she witnessed Thursday night at the Renaissance Convention Center during her son's...
Convention Center. I mean, this is black accent on TV. This is a black journalist. I realized that I've expected a journalist not to speak ghetto all my life. It took 2024 to make me realize that I was living in privilege. Sometimes your journalist will speak ghetto.
Graduation is ridiculous.
How do you fight at a graduation?
In this video.
Well, it's like it seems that there's fights in these schools every time. So of course, there's going to be a fight at the graduation. There was a fight yesterday in the school. There was a fight the day before.
A student is escorted out by the school security officer. That's when things escalate and the student throws his diploma at another child's neck.
It's a time for celebration, so why is everybody fighting? Why are you angry?
And here we go. Here we go. Why violence? They have to find, why is this kid angry? This is the attitude that leads to violence. This is the attitude that lets violence exist in your society. The assumption that, oh, there must have been a reason why he was angry. Why didn't they ask him? Why are you angry? So basically, she's asking for some sort of social workers to be there asking kids, why are you angry? And that will solve the problem of violence in the black community.
What's the problem? Tell me.
According to...
See, she believes that as a parent or as an old woman, her ear is sufficient to stop violence in our society. Your ears are worth nothing. And you will only stop violence in your community if for 1,000 years you keep arresting everyone who makes violence and put them in trouble, put them in the jail long enough that they don't have babies. It's the only way in which you improve a community. You don't improve a community by listening, but, oh, why are you angry? Oh, why did you pull out a gun on this other child? That is not okay. That is not how white people became nonviolent, by the way. Rodi Lucid says, I would hate to send my child to that school. The kid will be ruined no matter what genes he has. Exactly. Those are schools in which you have no chance because constantly the school is busy dealing with violent individuals. There's no time for learning there.
To Memphis police, this started when a student started flashing gang signs. Memphis police say the security officer tried escorting him out, but that's when the student threw his...
See, this is where the old ladies... desire to hear the anger has no place. They were flashing gang signs. You are at a high school graduation and these kids already belong to a gang or another. So you're faced with a gang war at the graduation ceremony.
Diploma. The security officer grabbed him and detained him. But the student was able to jump over 3 rows of seats and started fighting the student he hit with a diploma. They say that's when 2 other students...
Literally, here we have a Fox News or something, Channel 3. We have a Channel 3 journalist saying that's. That's when the other kid... I mean, this is where we are at. Listen to this again.
student was able to jump over three rows of seats. The grabbed him and detained him. But the student was able to jump over three rows of seats and started fighting the student he hit with a diploma. They say that's when two other students jumped.
This is the state of journalism, ladies and gentlemen. That's when. Barnaby Buto says, wait, so the nonviolent type uses diplomas as weapons? One of them, I wouldn't call one of them nonviolent.
Jumped in and one had to be pepper sprayed. The wife of an employee who was at the event says her husband is injured from the fight.
He has a big bruise on his left eye. They broke his glasses. His ankle is, well, the front of his foot, it looks like it's fractured.
According to this woman, who does not want to be identified, this all stemmed from a prior incident between the two students. She thinks those two students should not have been at the graduation in the first place.
Now,
well, one of them had a diploma, so he was definitely legitimately at the graduation, or was it the diploma that he stole from someone?
They were not in school, but he gave a, here, here's the packet. You guys could come and walk, knowing that these knowing that this was
so it's like the whole movie with the white teacher. There's kids who are not legitimately in the school, but they come to see trouble. That must be a myth and legend that leftist social worker tell themselves. It didn't come from inside the school. The trouble came from outside. Raised Fist says, some of them regret not going to the mixed race graduation with whites. Yes, perhaps going to the white ceremony might be an occasion to get your diploma without getting into a Royal Rumble. Tillerson says, they just graduate people no matter what. No child left behind BS. Yeah, of course, high school at this point is, as far as you attend it, my understanding is you're going to get a diploma. So it's a diploma of attendance at this point. But the diploma has never had value. The whole idea that you need to go to high school to begin with and that you're going to get learn talents there is completely false. High school is just an invention of the modern leftist to justify forcing people into their business model and to make everyone equal, to make it look like they're working at equality, but they are, of course, reducing the quality as they have more and more trouble getting people to learn English and basic math. And you end up with journalists. In a society that doesn't value the diplomas it gives, you end up with journalists saying, that's when. Let's check in on black graduation from a government school in which everyone graduates as long as you show up, was commenting Tom Hennessy. Tom Hennessy has had a really great Twitter performance. I think he's a great account. I would highly recommend following him. Taylor Lawrence says Elon Musk goes out of his way to fuck with her. This girl is crazy. Taylor Lawrence, by the way, this is the lady who is known to have doxxed libs of TikTok. She's the journalist of, what is it, the Washington Post or New York Times. She's not doing good mentally.
She basically claims that I had an affair with Elon Musk and I have some like ongoing relationship with Elon Musk. I've never even fucking met Elon Musk. Okay. I have reported on this man for years very critically. He fucking hates me. He goes out of his way to fuck with me and like interfere with my life. So no, I'm definitely not, nor have I ever had an affair with Elon Musk.
He interferes with your life. Not long ago, she tweeted that she lost her editors and she was totally mentally unhinged about it. She lost her editor, and it was like her husband just died. So her boss, a journalist of the regime like this, her boss not being there to order her around or guide her is like the most dramatic thing. She was totally crying about it. Rodita Sid says, Jeff, replay the video and see how she plays with her hair when she mentions his name. Okay, well, she does play a lot with her hair.
So she basically claims that I had an affair with Elon Musk and I have some like ongoing relationship with Elon Musk. I've never even fucking met Elon Musk. Okay, I have reported on this man for years very critically. He fucking hates me. He goes out of his way to fuck with me. And
yeah, she's a written journalist, so she's probably not used to the camera and doing her little tics here. I don't know. A streamer, Dabo, was at his after prom party when gunshots went off and his stream cut off. So another black graduation party. Yeah, well, what's the goal of high school again? What have we ever gained by? Because I think we're well past the value of high school here. We're well past where it's sensical to send your children in public school. Breaking: Israelis try to stop an aid truck from Jordan to the Gaza Strip. This is one thing you see in Israel. You have the government saying, oh yeah, we don't block aid going to the Gazans. But then you have private citizens who are taking it upon themselves to block the aid. So the fact that these citizens are let to do their dirty work is kind of suggestive that the government stands with them. Can you imagine you're so dedicated to the cause of making the Gazans suffer that as a private individual, you go out there, just walk in front of a van to stop aid from coming in. You literally want them to starve. You want them to starve and you take it upon yourself to do it. We have the cheerleader. Oh my God, this girl gives you an idea of the internal craziness that's happening in women's minds as part of oflation. Like, if you want to know just how women are obsessed with their own beauty and they know that, oh, it's a good thing to have and they want to recruit it to the maximum, this girl doesn't hesitate. She speaks it explicitly just to show how fucked up what's happening inside young, beautiful girls' head right now. But she is the cheerleader of the guy, of the football team, of the guy that had beard and that went at a Catholic speech, closing ceremony of whatever, and who made a big advocacy for. Well, he said that the current world was lying to women. He said that he was proud of his wife and that the most important thing a woman would do is to become a mother, and that he was proud of his wife for doing this, and that they shouldn't pursue careers as a first goal of life, but rather pursue motherhood. And he also said that there were currently laws that were going up in America that would make certain beliefs of the Bible illegal. You know, these laws that say that accusing the Jews of having killed Jesus Christ is anti-Semitism. So basically, he seemed like a pretty based guy. But of course, he's the best guy and he's a leader in his football team. Now, a football team associated with a college where I'm sure people aren't as based as he is. And that is one example, a cheerleader who wanted to come and speak out. But she's doing a disservice to her own feminist cause by being such an ass about being beautiful. I mean, look at this.
I put on a blazer and my finest jewelry in case any of the national news wants to use this and air it without my consent. My video addressing my favorite former coworker, Harrison Butkert, has popped off. And I'm about it because now I am a voice for the people that he attacked. And since the mainstream media is going to use whatever content they want, I thought I might as well dress up and give him a formal speech. It has never been about.
So she's fine with exploitation of her beauty for the purpose of spreading her feminist ideas in the media. But would she do this for a husband? Would she dress like this for a husband? Or is it just when you push your feminist ideas publicly? You are basically saying it's okay to recruit my beauty and it's okay to do it at the service of a political cause. Someone reminds me, I missed a super chat. Well, sorry, Ian. Here, I have your super chat. He says, Jeff, I suffer from premature love, if such a thing should exist, towards a highly neurotic woman. She initiated the growth of our relationship, but is now unsure. It is at a high energy state, which can either lead to a total dissolution or succession. How does one deal with confusing woman? Well, let me tell you. When I was young, I thought that there was such a thing as premature love. I thought, oh, maybe I should let the relationship grow before I tell her I love her. What I find out is that the female body is programmed to get fucked on sight. And so this whole idea of letting the relationship grow and waiting. Basically, this female is probably jungling with the idea that perhaps you're not high enough value for her. That's why she's putting the brakes and slowing down the relationship. She's probably shit testing you for your capacity to just grab her by the hip and fuck her. So be careful with letting her convince you that you're going too fast and that your pressure forward is the problem. It's never the problem. Have you ever heard about a woman who is faced with a Chad who's rich and beautiful and he's everything that she wants, but she wants to go slow and she wants to build a relationship, or she tells him to wait? No, she's telling you to wait because you're on the fence of her preferential decision making. And if anything, she's also entertaining another guy and trying to wait to see if that other guy will work out or if he's going to make advances and she will fall back on you if it doesn't. So all in all, forget about the idea of premature love. Your love is well-founded. You want this girl. The question is not, are you going too fast for her or too slow for her? The question is, you want her, therefore it needs to go as fast as possible from your perspective. Now, you say she's a highly neurotic woman. She initiated the growth of your relationship, but is now unsure. And when you say it's a high energy state, I'm not sure what you mean. You mean that it's intense? It is. What do you mean by high energy state? In any case, What I would tell you, you have a neurotic woman who's flailing, who's oscillating. Just try to catch one of her natural oscillations and get her committed into love with you. And how you do this is you say, listen, I've had enough of this weight. I want to kiss you. I want to have sex with you. Let's do this. And of course, it does. You don't have to pressure on the short term. You have to show within your pressure that you are also capable of self-control. So it's not like, I want to have sex with you now, this hour. You don't have to become an hassle. What you can do is you just passionately approach her and show her that you're a giga chad male capable of claiming her, basically. Here, I want you. And of course, if she tells you stop, okay, you stop. You show you're in total self-control, but you have passion for her. And just try that sort of pressure when you feel she is the most receptive in the cycle of the, say, the next 2 weeks, maybe. And if that doesn't work, don't worry. Just continue maintaining the relationship. It's not like approaching a woman who kind of likes you. It's not like she's going to take it as an offense and cut out the relationship. In fact, if she cuts out the relationship after you've made your aggressive approach, that means she really didn't want you, and she would have never wanted you. So you have nothing to lose. That is my point to you, Hayan. Just go forward, move forward, cause something. Cause something. Cause stuff to happen, and it will clarify the situation. You can never count on a woman, especially since you tell me she's a neurotic woman. You can never count on a woman to do this. You always have to cause the scenarios that will press time forward. You are the arrow of time. A woman is like a flailing arrow. She's like, you know, these arrows on compass, but the compass is very cheap and it goes like, that's a woman. You are the direction forward. You set it in stone and you stand with your muscles and you stand with your stoicness and you show her the direction. Right now, the direction for you is cause attachment and cause a build-up of commitment. That's done through sex. It's done through passion, baby-making. Go for it. Claim. This is one thing I wish I would have been told as a teenager. You won't get a woman. The world will not give you a woman. You have to claim a woman from the world, and she wants to be claimed. And I'm sorry, but it's the courtship process of humanity, but you have to do it. And yes, it's stupid and it sucks, but you have to do it. Your female that is displaying neurotic signs is wanting to be claimed. And you have to claim her, basically rip her from the space-time continuum and then sculpt her and shape her to be above the shit of the universe. This is what you need to do. That unfortunately, as an artist, I hate it. I hate it, but I had to do it hundreds of times. Silver Spider sends a super chat. He says, hey, Jeff, that is so true. My first girlfriend was a virgin who had no sex with her prior two boyfriends. Things would always get really hot and heavy. My friend gave me the best advice. Just penetrate her. She wants it. And he was right. Women will tell you they want something, but they lie a lot. Yeah, women have no connection to reality, so you are... It's extremely emotionally disturbing to be listening to any of their words and processing them through the part of your brain that attributes meaning to things, because there's your error. You need a separate part of your brain. It's like a big dump, and everything they say, you throw it in the dump. And then you say things and you affirm truths for them. Ian says, I really appreciate the advice, JF. Thanks a lot. Let's continue listening to this woman. Let's reopen my dump part of the brain.
About whether or not a woman should stay home with her family. If that is the best decision for her, do you. If you...
Oh, the whole... This is the problem of the liberals, is that they're fundamentally engaged in an anti-natalist advocacy, but at the same time, they have to keep it open because their whole shtick is about being open-minded. So if you want to be a mother and a good wife, you do you, girl. And it's like, no, we know that's not what you're pushing for. Your side of politics, whether you believe, whether you're siding with them or not, your side of politics is actively trying to take women off of that path.
You want to have a career? Do you. If you want to do both, pop off. Do you. My issue lies when entitled men...
So this girl is the product of a Catholic conservative education in the U.S. Do you realize how deeply in shit we are? This is the most right-wing cheerleader right now in America. I mean, if you want more right-wing than this, you have to go get the freaking swamp woman in Mississippi, or you know, the girl who sings, "You need a swamp woman." This is the most Christian you can get in cheerleaders in colleges of the U.S.
In positions of privilege, such as Harrison Butkert, uses a graduation speech to put a woman in her place.
He didn't put a woman in her place. He said, you're being suggested this. This is not going to make you as happy as this. Now, implied is that women do have the choice. Women can accept to take in the liberal propaganda. But he's telling them, don't be deceived by it. It's a misdirection.
Instead of congratulating her on her accomplishments. Are you shocked at some of his public supporters? I was not. Because something these people all have in common, privilege.
Oh my God. She's the product of a Catholic school. And there she is pontificating about privilege. It's not just privilege that leads you to want to be a parent full-time. There are lots of parents full-time who are living a very simple life, simply. And they decide not to have many cars for the family. They decide to do stuff like survival, self-farming, self-sustainment. And they decide to go simple and base their life around the pleasure of parenting. It's not privilege. You don't have to inherit money to be a full-time parent.
The harsh reality is that majority of Americans cannot support their family on a single income.
But it's because they made the choices of having the mortgage, having the car loans. They basically bought things that they didn't have the means to have. That's why they can't afford. When you say a family cannot afford to be on a single income, you're not talking about minimal food needs. You're talking about all these extras that you took from society that you didn't have the means to pay for, so now you're a debt slave.
Those little bundles of drawers are expensive! So telling a bunch...
Man, this girl seems like trouble. She is annoying in her speech patterns.
...of women that's when their life begins? Well, I guess it depends if they're privileged or not. Baffles me.
No, it's not privilege. I think that parenting is definitely a foundational moment of your life that, for many of us, is the beginning of our life, is the most important thing and the only thing. That's the ultimate goal of anything else we do. If you don't work to make children, if you don't accumulate money for children eventually. Why do you do it? For pleasure? For self-aggrandizement? Tillerson says she is a living red flag. Yes, she is a bad model, but that's the alternative to the guy with the beard at the Catholic college. LGBTQ activist and Twitch streamer Jana says if she has a boy, she will make sure he's trans or gay because she doesn't want a cis straight son.
Him gay.
That is the reality of the LGBT community. They're so disparate. They get a single baby, and their first thought when they become pregnant is, oh, I'm going to raise him as a gay. As a gay, queer, whatever. They are truly in a war against malehood, and malehood will win. For sure, malehood will win. I mean, just look at her hair. This is not winning. This is not the female of the future. This is an unreproductive sample of the human species who turned out to be pregnant accidentally or through whatever detour of the LGBT philosophy, and the best, even if her plan works, it means she has a sterile offspring who will not lead the world going forward. You all come from heterosexuality, you LGBT activists, and you all owe heterosexuality something. And nature will come back to claim it one day or another. Diddy speaks out for the first time since the video leaked of him brutally assaulting Casey. Now, this is basically he's getting exposed for so many things. And yet he's commenting right now on this very old video that's already been dealt with in court. So the only thing that's new about this video is that it's getting exposed publicly. But those were actions for which he had paid for a settlement already with Cassie. I don't think there is any value to this apology video. He's trying to score a political leftist point, you will see. You know, trying to get into this whole Me Too. I understand what I've done is bad. I'm so ashamed. Self-flagellation of that sort never serves you. Even if what you did is bad. What he did seems to be bad, you know. He did smack Casey as she was trying to flee. So it seems like it's genuinely bad what he's done. But even when it's bad, why apologize in such a pathetic video that people will hold forever against you?
So difficult to reflect on the darkest times in your life. Sometimes you gotta do that. I was fucked up. I mean, I hit rock bottom. I made no excuses. My behavior on that video is inexcusable. I take full responsibility for my actions in that video. Disgusting. I was disgusted then when I did it, I'm disgusted now. When and I sought out professional help. I'm going to therapy. Rehab.
See how cocked this guy has become? It's like. And yeah, the music in the background. Someone could edit this and put a little at the end, or maybe a little. We won't stop because we can't stop something. And we won't stop because we can't stop. Bad boy for life, says end of the line Joel. I mean, yeah, it's pathetic to go through therapy. He must have been placed through therapy where they convinced him that somehow he was part of the patriarchy and he's done patriarchal violence against Casey. Problem is, I don't advocate for the violence that he's committed, but at the same time, don't use the fact that he has committed a wrong to insert false beliefs about it in his brain, to insert basically androgynous belief, because in this therapy, he must have been told that he was a toxic male and everything that the psychologists of today are learning. So anyways, it's just pathetic to see PDD, and all of his life is pathetic. The pursuit of hedonism, the pursuit of partying, the pursuit of a display of wealth toward others, and then violence, and then even the apology is pathetic. Everything is pathetic about it. Balloon Nata sent $20. Thank you so much for you guys' generosity. Amazing generosity tonight. He says, hi, Jeff. I think you don't like electric vehicles, but what do you think of hybrids, plug-in or otherwise? I've looked into them. The problem is always every layer of technology is more costly than what it truly brings you back. So you have the all-electric vehicle. It kind of sucks because if you're in the long range and there's the whole question of the duration, the durability of the car, will it still work in 10 years or will I have to change the whole battery? So those are big problems. And then you get into the hybrid. But then it's like, yeah, you're going to have a hybrid. What if the battery breaks? You're going to be carrying around a battery at the cost of gas. And you're going to have increased maintenance, yes. So in general, I've checked all of the options, hybrid, plug-in. I was super interested. I want a plug-in. But it's not that easy. First, there's the maintenance problem. There's the fact that these cars are super much more costly than they could be. And then you have to redo the whole electricity of your house with a new panel because, oh yeah, it's more than 120 volt and or it's too high amperage. Never, I've done the research and I've never found an example of a car like this that's worth buying. So for now, I object to all electric vehicles, hybrids, plug-in, no matter the mode. They all suck. They're all overpriced. They all don't pay for what you want to have them for, which is saving. How is it that we don't have savings yet generated in this economic sector? Baffles me. Tillerson says, I had a hybrid. The battery failed. It would have cost $5,000 to replace. The vehicle was worth like $7,000. I will always drive ICE. Okay, well, see, that's an example. It really sucks. Dino Rogovic says, all EVs do is shift the pollution from the city to the power stations. I think they are actually more polluting overall. Yeah, this also needs to be figured out because I heard this again and again. And Elon says, no, that's not the case. But I never saw the arguments being laid out. How is it that in a countryside Canadian place like me, how is it that it's not going to end up being the burning of carbon that powers my electricity? I still don't see any evidence. Silver Spider says, I've actually installed a lot of electric car chargers. You can use a regular outlet, but it's just slow charging, too slow for most people. What exactly? So now you start paying the price in terms of the usability of your own car. FD says, what if you could rent a self-driving car and hop on a different one when the battery is empty? Well, that is one thing that has been presented to me again and again. Years ago, there was a super chat basically presenting this option because it seems that in China, it's what they do. Like you drive your car, you leave it on the side and you take another car while they recharge the battery. The whole idea of ownership of the car is important. It's what the fuel engine is bringing. It's that I can acquire a device of mobility. Like open your ear, Elon Musk, okay? Because this is what people need. I want to have a property of mine that can transport me. not, and I don't want to be dependent on anything. I want to be able to store gallons and gigantic tanks of gasoline and be forever capable of pouring it into the car and going from point A to point B. That is the goal of a car. And I don't see it being addressed well by the electric vehicle crew. Who is a 10? Who is not a 10? Let's see. The fascinating part here is that the entirety of the table, the woman who qualifies themselves as 10 out of 10 are not 10 out of 10. And the woman who qualified themselves as 7 or 8 are truly the most beautiful ones.
Looks on a scale of 1 to 10, starting with you, go ahead.
10.
No, you cannot be 10 with these gigantic boobs. They are flaps of fat that are ugly.
10.
No, you are a crack whore of the city that looks overrolled by a train of prostitute consumers. You are ugly.
Go ahead.
9.
See, the one that says 9, okay.
Like 7.
This was the most beautiful up to there. And she says she's a 7.
Like 7.
Feeling like an 8.5 today.
Like a...
She was an 8.
7.
Maybe this one is more beautiful. The ones that are lower, that are lowering their own score are the most beautiful. Here we have a Jewish woman who is giving trouble to people on the bus. Let's hear what she has to say. This could be our last news item for tonight.
And you're like a disease! And the truth! And you don't want to try, so come on, get out of here! I wouldn't even stop! Because, God, what do you want, boy?
What do you want, guy? She calls him a guy.
What do you want, boy?
He's the driver.
He's the guy!
Hey, this is Eric Weinstein. How is this not Eric Weinstein? This is the female version of Eric Weinstein.
Driver.
He's a guy. Okay. He better be the driver. Why wouldn't you drive you around? Why wouldn't you turn your fucking butt around? I would drive you around. What's your kind of drive you around? You know, there's been two suicide bus drivers in the city already.
Shut up.
Okay, so she's alarmed that maybe the bus driver is some kind of Middle Eastern. She thinks that the bus driver is a suicide bomber. I mean, you have to say something about the tightness of the genetic nuclei of Jews, such that a random complaining Jewish woman in a bus looks very much like Eric Weinstein. I mean, let me pull a photo. Eric Weinstein pissed off. Do we have pictures of Eric Weinstein aggressive looking? Let's see. Okay, he's not really aggressive looking, but let's compare this picture right here. Okay, so this is Eric Weinstein. Eyes closed. You can see the whole... I wouldn't call them the hair. I would say it's a hair complex. It's a distributed hair complex. Face relatively fat, round. Okay, now let's compare with this woman. The distributed hair complex, the stern look, phenotype match affirmed by Dino Legovich, our racial verifier. The phenotype has been matched. This is a close genetic cousin of Eric Weinstein. Let's call her Erica Weinstein. Shurik Mamel says, I know this to be the case of a female co-worker in her 20s. Thought she was a 9 out of 10. When she was a 4, maybe 5 on a good day, when she rated herself with the 20-year co-workers. Yeah, today we have a lot of cases of female beauty being misperceived by the self in many of these videos, including the cheerleader. Yeah, the thing with female beauty is that our entire society is based around it. But the reality, it's a very fleeting thing. Like, it's something you're going to have a few years in your life that you can truly use it. And it's going to ultimately boil down to your husband is going to be happy to be with a beautiful woman. In the end, once you deny the opportunity to use it for your professional advancement, you deny the opportunity to become a prostitute. You denied the whole, I suck Harvey Weinstein's dick, and in exchange, I become a Hollywood star. It boils down to your husband is going to be like, oh, yes, I have a beautiful woman. Chicago is so bad that someone made a tutorial on how to get gas when you're there. This will be our last video for tonight. Apparently, this is the technique if you want gas in Chicago.
Up to the gas station, man. You got to back in. Gang, you got to back in this joint because you don't want to be facing with your back to the street. Okay, rule number two, make sure your mask up. Make sure you in ninja mode at all time. And make sure you got blick on tucked. Make sure you got blick on tucked under your arm. Blick on tucked under the arm. That is. Damn. When you get out, be looking your goofy ass around, man. Check the surroundings out. Look around. Look and see who's sitting in them cars, man. Pay attention. Damn, what pump that is? Got my fucking pump. Always remember what pump you on so you won't waste valuable time with your goofy ass.
What up, I? All right, let me get, goddamn it, 250 on 4. 250. 250.
He speaks like a future journalist.
250. Let me get a pack of Russians.
When you come out, be ready to blow, because you never know who might try to pop out. And last rule, make sure you pump that gas with that blick out. Thanks.
Okay, well, at this point, is it really worth getting gas if you have to take all of those precautions? What else did I have here? Is he the true winner? Here's a man who is having a mud fight with a woman. But instead of doing the fight, he just uses the opportunity to grab her boobs. All right, well, that's a case of a zero-sum game in which everyone ends up winning in one way. FD says, Jeff, what was the movie called you showed earlier this week? The movie was called Megalopolis by Coppola. Black Tie says, I'd like to see Jeff getting gas in Chicago. I lived in Chicago. Like a naive Canadian white man, I took the metro in the worst area of the town. And sometimes I would finish, because I'm crazy when I do science work in the university. I would do my experience super late, and I would come home 1 a.m., 2 a.m., 3 a.m., or I would go eat a sandwich after work at middle of the night, and it's a miracle I didn't die, and yet I was through this whole thing not knowing that I was putting my life in danger. I was oblivious. It's unbelievable what liberalism will do to your brain. I was a young, I wouldn't say I was a Marxist then, but, you know, I was within the university spamming of leftism. I was just not aware. Hey, there are certain places in America you have to be careful. You could literally get killed by random. You actually have a good chance to be killed randomly. Mark D's channel says, is the university in MAGA territory? Not at all. Not at all. I was taking the public metro straight to the university downtown and then going through the worst places because my apartment was located maybe 20 minutes away from it. Silver Spider says, imagine if JF stayed liberal, lol. Well, I would be dead. Thank you.